I'm always afraid when I'm going to walk up to this platform, I'm going to knock something over. High steps, little steps, long way up, amen. Trust me, you do not want me falling from up here. I just, before I begin this morning, I'll just tell you, a few weeks back, I was in Michigan with my wife, and we had to go down and buy some stuff in a Sam's Club that had broken in the house, so I went down to get a couple items, and we're down to Sam's Club, and we're walking. She got the shopping cart with her, and we got loaded up, and we're just walking around. I'm starting to get dizzy, and I'm getting cold sweats, and I'm starting to feel some chest pains again. So I told her, I'm going to go sit down over in the eating area there, and I'll just wait for you. And I went over to sit down, and reached in my pocket, and I pulled out a little bottle of Nyquil tablets, and took two of them, you know, because I know when I need two. He always told me, doctor says, now, if you have to take three, you have to go to the hospital. Don't take three, amen. So I just took two of them and sat there for a little bit, started feeling a little bit better, and still a little dizzy and stuff when I got up. Went out to the car, sat down. It was fine by the time I got to the car. Doctor called me about 4 days later. He said, listen, he says, on Monday, about 3:30 in the afternoon, he says, your heart kicked back a report to us that you had an anomaly. I said, okay, what kind of anomaly? He said, well, about 3:30 that afternoon. He said, was anything going on? I said, yeah. So I told him what happened, and he said, well, it registered that your heart rate went to 160 beats a minute. He said, what did you do? I said, went and sat down, put my head down. He said, no. He said, listen to me. He said, if that ever happens again, you have to lay down on the floor, and then you tell everybody, don't touch me. I'm thinking, okay. I said, why? He said, because if it hits 180 beats a minute, your defibrillator is going to fire. He said, if they're touching with that defibrillator fire, it's going to put them on the ground beside you. So I said, all right, doc, whatever. So he changed some medication on me. I think it's been fine ever since. But if I just had to be up here and I fall down on a platform, preach, you just come. My notes are here. You can finish preaching it. Just walk over me. If I jerk a couple times and I get up, I'll be fine. Amen. If I jerk a couple times and I don't get up, leave me alone because I'm in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I've written a number of messages. In fact, I wrote four brand new messages last week while I was in this revival tent revival meeting over in Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Oriskany Falls. And the title to the camp this year was Amazing Grace, God's Amazing Grace. And so I wrote this message about Amazing Grace last Saturday night and Sunday morning, very early in the morning. I was up at 4:30 finishing up my touching works on it. And God gave this to me, and I want to share it with you today. I think it'll meet the need for the hour, amen. Just God's amazing grace and what He's done in our lives. I'm going to tell you that meeting I was at on Sunday night, we had one get saved. On Monday night, we had the 9 Mile bike gang come out to the meetings, the president and the vice president and the gang, and about four other people came into the meeting, got to hear the gospel of Christ, amen. And we had another one get saved on Monday night, and then we had another one get saved on Tuesday night. We had another one get saved on Wednesday night. We had another one get saved on Thursday night. We had 12 get saved on Friday night, amen. So we saw 17 during the week of the meetings, but two got saved that Saturday before on visitation. So a total of 19 people were saved as a result of having those revival meetings in the area there. You know, God has amazing grace, does He not? I don't know about you. We sing the song Amazing Grace, a sweet song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. I thank God for His amazing grace. If you could with me, please, if you can, stand. If not, you remain seated. Stand as I read from the Word of God this morning, please, in the book of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy and chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, and that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers at night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance some feigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, watch, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, Father, thank you for your word again. I pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts this morning, Father, that you'd have the glory and the honor. If there's someone here that's not saved, Father, I please, Father, touch that heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this morning on this thought of amazing grace, what makes the grace of God so amazing? Well, I think number one, because it was before the world began. He said in verse 9 of this text, in hope of eternal life, he tells Timothy, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He promised he would give salvation to anybody who would call upon him before this world was formed. And I can't understand that. That just boggles my mind. I don't understand how he would do that before the world began. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin. He knew that the sin would go back to Adam because Eve was deceived and Adam chose him. And God knew that. But yet still, in spite of all that, and knowing how man would turn against him, knowing how man would be so wicked in their life, knowing all these things, he still allowed Jesus Christ, before the world began, to make a promise that he would send him to die for your sin and my sin upon the cross of Calvary. That is God's amazing grace, amen. God's amazing grace. Boy, I tell you what, I cannot get away from the God's amazing grace, no matter how hard I would try, and I don't want to try, amen. I thank him for it continually in my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. I could go on, and I could tell you story after story after story of being on the road for 34 years. I could tell you story after story after story of being in the ministry for 9 years before that in a children's home and pastoring a church, an associate pastor of a church. I can tell you story after story after story about God's amazing grace. But I want to tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you've already experienced God's amazing grace in your life. You might not see it, but you've experienced it. You experienced, number one, is salvation, amen. His amazing grace. I tell you, you can't get away from his amazing grace in this world. I don't understand why people don't see that, why they don't see what God has done for them, no matter how much you talk to them, how much you share with them, how much you show them. And I want to tell you what, the world is hungry to see something different in a believer's life. The world is hungry to see something different in people's life about God. They want God's amazing grace. It's up to you and I to be able to share some of that with them that they would be able to have it. Well, why is it amazing grace? Why is it amazing grace? Because it was before the world began. But look at Titus with me, if you will, just for a moment. The book of Titus, Titus chapter 1, all right, verse 1 says, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. His amazing grace is amazing because it was before the world began. And number two, because it was given to all. Look at verse 11 with me at Titus. He says this, one of themselves, even a prophet of, verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And I said chapter 2, didn't I? If I said chapter 1, I want chapter 2. I'm as bad as you this morning, Pastor, amen. I can't see the Bible, let alone my eyes are about shot anymore. Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, watch this, hath appeared to all men. Now, that does not mean all men are going to get saved, but he's made himself known out there to all men. You go back and study the book of Romans in chapter 1, and he said this creation itself proves that there is a God. He's made himself available for all of mankind. Mankind many times will not accept him. Mankind will reject him. Mankind will not receive him. You go to, there was a tribe in, I'm trying to think where it was at, somewhere in South America, I believe it was, or Africa. I think it was South America somewhere. There was a tribe of people, and there was a man in that tribe that would walk out every day, and an elder of the tribe would walk out every day, and he would look up to heavens, And he would say, if there's something different, we need to know it. Something different, someone needs to tell us. And so he would do that every day. And all of a sudden, a missionary went there to that village, Pastor Tony. And that man got saved. And he said, I was praying that God would send somebody. And he sent you. And that village got converted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's people that are looking. People that need the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it was given to all. It wasn't just given to the, white man. It was given to the black man. It was given to the yellow man. It was given to the red man. It was given to all of us. Amen. And we need to do what we can to get the word of God out. Amen. It's not just given to us, amen. I tell you, we need to share the very truth of the very Word of God. I know there's some out there that limit, Brother Bassino. There's some out there that limit the grace of God. And they say that only so many can be saved. Only certain ones can be saved. No, 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 my friend. Anybody can be saved if they'll put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon them, Him to forgive them for their sin. I tell you what, there are many people who gave up on me before I got saved. Many who quit praying for me, but there were still many that were praying for me, giving me the gospel over and over and over and over and over and over again. I probably heard the gospel 20 to 25, maybe 30 times, but at least 25 times in my life before I ever got saved by the very grace of God. And I never responded to it. There were sometimes I'd sit there and hear the preaching, and I'd walk out of that church service, walk out of that chapel service, walk out of somewhere, not responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even when I had an old preacher standing up in the pulpit, he preached on hell that night, and when he was all done, he said, every head bowed and every eye closed. I sat there and I stared at him. He was up here, I was out there. This is back in 1972. I did 71. I just sat there and I stared at him. And he pointed his own bony finger at me during his invitation. When he said, every head bowed and every eye closed, just pointed his finger at me. He said, if you die tonight, you're going to hell. And I got up and walked out of that service. Knowing that night, if I died, I was going to hell. I knew it. I didn't have anybody have to try to convince me that I was some great sinner. I knew I was a sinner, amen. Sometimes you have to convince people they're sinners, amen. You have to prove to them that they're sinners, amen. Because some people just don't want to admit that they have sin in their life or have had sin in their life, amen. We need to make sure that we get some things straightened out with God as believers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it was given to all, that all might respond, that all might come to Him. And we have a responsibility, part of that, and you're doing your missions month coming up here, is to get all out, that all might hear, amen. There are still some tribes out there in foreign countries that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just found a lost tribe in Papua New Guinea just a few years back. In fact, I know the missionary was up there and went from one village to the next. Brian Treadway is his name. He was a missionary there. He's back at the States doing revival meetings now. And he went to a couple different villages, and one where they had never seen a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they had to go in, they had to learn the language. You have to understand something. There's over 800 separate languages in Papua New Guinea. Not just one language in the whole country. There's 800 separate languages, not a dialect, separate languages. And that's why there was always battles between the tribes. They couldn't understand each other. So when they went in, they had to learn the language. They had to be taught the language and work with the people and then explain what the gospel of Jesus Christ was. And people got saved, amen. They got one man saved. He started interpreting to the other ones, and they got saved in that village. Boy, what a great time they had. And that happened a couple of times. They went up the next village up the same thing. I tell you what, people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's given to everybody. It's given to everybody, not just a select few. Not just a select few. God did not choose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. He made the gospel possible for all people, that all people might be saved and go to heaven. Amen. I tell you, I am a whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've seen people get saved over and over. I was down in Florida one time. And I was in this little church I was talking about in Sunday school that I helped to get their doors open again last year. And I was preaching a week of revival meetings there. We had about 25, 30 people out maybe throughout the week. And one of the ladies came to the church where I was at. And she said, Brother Mike, she said, my son-in-law is dying. And I said, okay. And she said, his wife would like you to come over to the house. And I said, okay. And my daughter, she said, like you to come over to the house. I said, okay. So I changed my clothes. I was working on a truck. I was all greasy, cleaned up, and got dressed and changed and went over to the house. And when I asked her, I said, dying. I said, you mean like now or just dying? You know, because a lot of people are all dying. Amen. So But he was dying now. He was in that bad of shape. And so I went to the house and I walked up on the back porch, Pastor, and there were two Mormon missionaries walking out of the house. Well, a Mormon elder and a missionary. And I heard them say on the way out the door, they said, "Herbie, you'll be with your friend, you'll see your friends on the other side today." And I thought, "Well, keep my mouth shut, Lord. Keep my mouth shut." I didn't say a word to him. I just walked past him and walked in. Walked up where Herbie was at, laying in a bed, laying in a hospital bed, propped up a little bit, had a bad heart. His heart was just about done. He's laying there, and I asked his wife, I said, "Can he hear me?" She said, "He can hear you, but he can't respond. He can't talk." So I said, "Herbie," I grabbed him by the hand. I said, "Herbie," I said, "if you can hear me, squeeze my hand." So he squeezed my hand. I said, "I want to talk to you for a little bit, Herbie." I said, "What you just heard about the other side, you're not going to, what you're going to see is eternal damnation because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior." I said, "Don't believe a lie that these men were just telling you." I said, "You need to know Christ in a personal way. You need to call upon Him and ask Him to forgive you for your sin that you might be saved." His wife said he had never been saved. So I'm holding his hand. I said, "Now, Herbie," I said, do you understand what I'm saying?" He squeezed my hand. I said, "Herbie," I said, "I want to ask you right now, would you want to know Jesus Christ in a personal way and receive forgiveness for the sin that's in your life and was in your life?" And he squeezed my hand. I said, "Okay, Herbie." I said, "I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer. Would that be okay?" And he squeezed my hand. I said, "Okay." And so I prayed a simple sinner's prayer with him. I'm careful about that. I don't just think we ought to just make people repeat a prayer, amen. Prayer don't save you, but he's the only way I can get to him, amen. So I said, "Herbie," I said, I repeated that prayer with him. I asked him, "I don't know if you, I don't know if you prayed that prayer in your heart. I don't know if you heard what I said, and I don't know if you prayed." And he goes like this. He squeezes my hand, but he goes, "I pray." And just about 2 minutes later, he took his last breath. Interesting story with that. I was at the church the next day, and his wife came up to me, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "you said you were in prison in Ohio." I said, "Yeah, I was in 6 different prisons in Ohio." And she said, "Herbie was in prison." I said, "Well, you know what prison he was?" I said, "No." I said, "Well, was he in? Was he in Mansfield?" "No." "Was he in Grafton?" I said, "No." I said, "Was he in Columbus?" "No." "Was he in Marion?" She said, "Marion." That's where he was at. Now, this is an interesting story. I did not recognize him, but I knew a Herbie in prison. I said, "What year was he in there?" She said, 1970, 1977. I was there in 1972. Now, Herbie was a pretty tough guy. And so I figure I had a chance to lead this man to the Lord years later after I got saved. Amen. I got saved in the next prison, Chillicothe. It was the 5th prison I was in, getting ready to go to the 6th prison to escape from it, and I got saved before I got there. So I got the great escape, amen? That's gone. But amazing grace. God has a purpose for it. Why? Because it's given to all. Those on the deathbed, those that aren't on the deathbed, those who are in the hospital, those who are in the jail, people need to hear the gospel. Those are in New Guinea, those are in Africa, those are in Australia, those are in Austria, those are in Greenland, those are in Newfoundland. They need to hear the gospel of Christ. Those in Nova Scotia, those in Moncton, New Brunswick, those in Canada, those across the United States, those in Hawaii. They need to hear the gospel. Those in Alaska, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those in Iraq, those in Iran, those in Afghanistan, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those in Turkey, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those in Uzbekistan, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. People need who? The Lord. Amen? People need the Lord. We need to get the gospel out to them. It's given to all. Well, it was given for a purpose also. He tells you in Titus chapter 2, verse 12 to 15, you're there. Look at verse 12 with me. "I begin re-teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Why was it given to us? That we would deny ungodliness in our life. Teaching us amazing grace that will teach us how to deny ungodliness in our lives. That we might live a righteous life, a pure life, a holy life before him. Well, there's many Christians today, my friend, I want you to know, that don't get this scripture. And they're not living like they ought to be living. Not doing what they ought to do. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. He's not talking about not being drunk. He's talking about sound of mind. Righteously and godly in this present world. And boy, if this present world needs any godly people, it's today. Amen. We need to have a godly group of born-again believers saved by the grace of God. They're not afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're not afraid to live the gospel of Jesus Christ in front of a lost, sin-sick, dying world. Well, it doesn't just amazing grace because it was before the world began. Not just amazing grace because it was given to all. Not just amazing grace because it was given for a specific purpose. But it's amazing grace. Look at this in chapter 3 of the book of Titus. Because it justifies. Because it justifies. Titus in chapter 3 with me, beginning in verse 1, he says this. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil. Well, here's one. To speak evil of no man. How's that working out for you? Amen. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's not by your righteousness that you have done. Understand that. He says, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified, listen to that, being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Being justified by His grace. Why? Why is it so amazing? Because His grace justifies. God looks at you, and He sees you through the blood. If you've been saved by the grace of God, He sees you through the blood of the precious Lamb of God, through Jesus Christ. That's how He looks at you. He doesn't see you in your sin. He knows when you sin, and that's why we have 1 John 1:9 for the born-again believer. If we confess our sin, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to born-again believers. We use that for the unsaved. It's a good verse to use with unsaved. But that verse there in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, is all written for born-again believers that we might grow thereby in the grace of a holy, righteous God. He says it justifies. He looks at you just as if you had never sinned. Imagine that. He looks at you just as if you will never sin. Not that you ever sin, but that if you will never sin. That's how He sees you. What a precious God we have. That's the amazing grace of God. Explain it to me, Brother Mike. I can't. I just have to accept it and believe what God says. Amen. And you must do the same thing. Just trust God. His amazing grace. If I trusted in myself to get myself into heaven, I'd be dying and going to hell every day. Because I could never be good enough to get to heaven. Never do enough to get to heaven. It's only by the very grace of God that you can be saved by the very grace of God. It's amazing grace because it justifies. And then it's amazing grace because it, in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 6, it helps in time of need. That's what he said in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Well, I like that, amen. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We might find mercy, amen. How many of you like mercy? I like mercy. Now, if you're like me, I like mercy. I like it when I receive mercy, but I don't like to give mercy. Amen. Anybody like that besides me out here? Amen. I like to hold my gun. You know, I don't want to give in. I don't want to stop. I don't want to quit. My wife just sent me a text a while back, and she sent me an email, and she said, we talk every day, talk in the morning, talk in the evening, talk at noontime, we just talk. Amen. Not long. I'm a short talker. You know, if she gets 20 minutes on me, she's doing pretty good. Amen. I always have to ask her how I'm doing, though. That way I know how I'm doing for the day, amen. Just kidding. But she sent me a note the other day, and in that note, either in an email or a text, I can't remember, she said, thank you so much for being so strong and stubborn. Well, I thought I'd never hear that out of her, amen. She said, because that's been the catalyst that has kept our marriage together. It'll be 48 years, the 6th of next month. I'm not going to make it home for my anniversary, brother. Amen. I said, have it without me, honey. Amen. I already sent her the gift, though. Amen. She can't open it, though, until the 6th. Praise the Lord. Well, His grace helps in time of need. And find grace to help in time of need. I don't know if you ever have a time of need in your life. But I have time of need all the time. I'm always looking to God to help me and to strengthen me and to motivate me and to move me and to use me somehow, some way, some shape, some form. Amen. Because He's the only one that can help you the way you need help. I told my wife when we first got married, I said, I want you to know something. I'll let you down. I'll hurt you. I will. I know it. I just know me. Amen. I know my stubborn attitude. I know how bullheaded I can be. I know how, and when we first got married, there were times I was mean. I was ugly. I'm just telling you, God got a hold of my stinking, rotten, wicked heart. Amen. And turned me around on those things. Boy, there's times I've apologized to her, and I thank God He's given me that ability. I don't like saying I'm wrong. Amen. How many of you know that? Amen. How many of you like that besides me? I don't like admitting I'm wrong. Don't like them saying I'm wrong. We were just out just recently to a Walgreens, a pharmacy in Michigan, and I pulled out of the driveway. She says on the way out of the driveway, it was lunchtime. She said, I'd really like to go to a Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's like a Subway, only it's a little bit better food, I think. And she said, I'd like to go to Jimmy John's. I want an unwich. Now let me explain what an unwich is. An unwich is a sub sandwich wrapped in lettuce and no bread. That ain't no sandwich to me, amen. So I get the real deal, amen. So we're pulling out of the Walgreens, and she says, I'm going to go to Jimmy John's. I said, okay, I take a left-hand turn. She said, you know you need it. No, I don't. I said, I know where I'm going. I go by Jimmy John's every day. I'm here every day doing something in town at Lowe's or at the Ace Hardware or at Walgreens or somewhere. I'm always going by. I know where it's at. We get gone rolling. She says, you know you need it. I said, don't. It's just, I'm going to, let me just embellish a little bit. Stop, amen. Not quite that bad, but, you know, that's, I got it. I know where I'm going, you know. And so we get down there, and guess what? Jimmy John's wasn't there. So I'm driving. I'm not even looking at her. I'm just driving. I said, well, you were right, and I was wrong. Here's the next thing I hear from her is, what did you say? I said, I go like this. I'm still driving. I said, well, you were right, and I was wrong. And she's videotaping me. Sent that to every one of my grandkids, my daughters, my son. And I think she sent to my preacher. Amen. I'm not sure, but she got me. And that's just not the worst of it. She got me 2 days later the same way because I knew where I was going. Amen. Boy, I tell you, she gets me. Love her. Amen. She's a wonderful wife. There's times I need help. God put her in my life to help me. Amen. But man can't always help you like God can help you. You need to trust Him. He will never let you down. He will never get ugly with you. He'll never get mean with you. He'll never get cross-eyed at you. Amen. He's always there to help and to lift you up in your time of need. And then let's look at another one, if you would with me, please. I've only got two more. It was 7 points. That's a perfect outline, they say. Amen. I don't know, but it works for me. Hallelujah. He said, watch, he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That much more abound means super abounded, grace super abounded. The songwriter had it right when he stated grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that is greater than all our sin. He gives it again, it's an abounding, it's an amazing grace because it's an abounding grace. There's nothing that the grace of God can't do in your life. There's nothing that you could ever do in your life that God cannot forgive you for. I want you to understand that. There's nothing that you could ever do that God cannot forgive you for. Boy, I know there's arguable points there. People will argue that point with me. But I just want you to know something, my friend. You have no idea what I've done in my life. You know how I did what I planned in my life. You know how I did what I wanted to do in my life. You have no idea, but God still forgave me. Amen. And I'm standing up here today, not because of me, not because of me forgiving myself, but because God forgave me. Amen. Boy, and I thank God for His abounding, amazing grace in my life. And boy, that's what you need in your life, abounding, amazing grace. And then lastly, look at Ephesians chapter 2. You can turn there if you want to, verse 8 and 9. He says, listen to this, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and then not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven. You cannot give enough money to get to heaven, amen. But you need to trust Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. He's the only way that you can be born again is through the blood of the shed lamb on the cross of Calvary, and that was Jesus. There's none other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And three verses before that, he says, Jesus Christ, amen. He's talking about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the only name, the only one that you can get saved under. You can't get saved under Buddha. You can't get saved under, because of Joseph Smith. You can't, they're not going to lead you to the Lord. You know what's interesting? I preached a message I'll probably preach here tonight. It's called, Do You Believe What the Scriptures Teach About Christ? I preached that message on Thursday night at the meeting. And I did not know it that night, but six Mormon ladies walked in with their name tags on, sitting in the back of the tent, brother. You see why, if I would have known they were there, I wouldn't have preached that message probably. I'm glad God didn't let me know they were there, amen. I heard they were coming, but I forgot all about it. And then I preached that message, and the preacher said, you know, they showed up tonight? I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, praise the Lord. They heard one they needed to hear, amen. Maybe the Lord will let me show up to you tonight. It's God's amazing grace. And because of, why is it amazing? Because it's a saving grace. It's a saving grace. Many of you in this room, maybe everybody in this room, have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You call upon Him. Maybe when you're 4 years old, 5 years old, maybe when you were 22 years old like me, maybe when you were 40 or 50 or 60 years old. I don't know. But if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and call upon Him to forgive you for your sins, then you fall into this category of His amazing grace. And if you have not, then you need to trust Him. Because not works of righteousness that you're saved by. Not at all. But you're saved because of Him and what He's done for you upon the cross of Calvary. That you might be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know where you're at. I hope you're saved. If you're not saved, I would encourage you this morning to let us please talk to you and show you from the Bible how that you could be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's what it's going to take. It'd be a terrible thing if you left here today not knowing Christ as your Savior. It'd be a terrible thing. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God's amazing grace. It's an abounding grace. It's a grace that's supposed to keep us straight and do what's right. Maybe this morning in here you'd slip up your hand and say, Mike, I'm a born-again believer. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know, but there's some things in my life that are a mess, some things in my life that aren't pointing to Jesus the way they ought to. Would you just pray for me this morning that I would get some things settled with Him today? How about right now? Be honest with me. Just slip your hand up in the air. God bless you. God bless you. Others, how about it? God bless you. Amen. Others, how about it? Let's be honest with each other. Amen. Today. That you might do what God would have you do and be what God would have you to be as a child of God. Second question. Are you saved? If your life ended right now, where would you spend eternity? Where would you spend eternity? If you ask me that question, my answer is this. I'm going to heaven because I know I'm saved. I know in whom I believe. And it's not based on me, but it's based on the perfect work of Jesus Christ. And what He's done for me on the cross of Calvary. By His death, His burial, and by His resurrection. And you can know Him today if you don't. Is there anybody in here right now, maybe with an upraised hand, and say, Mike, would you just pray for me? Because I'm not saved. I need to be saved. How about it right now? Anybody at all? Just be honest with me. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Slip your hand right up in the air. Anybody at all? And I'll pray for you. If I don't see any hands, I hope that means you're saved. I really do. I hope that means you're saved. Father, I thank You for these now today. Father, these that raised their hand a little bit ago and said, pray for me. Because there's some things that I need to make right, some things I need to get straightened out with You, Lord. As only they can do because of who You are and because of what You have done. And we will give You the honor and the glory, Father. There's someone that's not saved, Lord. Please, yet, touch that heart. Speak to that one. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Pastor.
Thank you for being here this morning. I trust that you'll come back tonight, 7 o'clock each night. The meetings begin at 7. And please remember that we have to bathe these meetings in our prayers. Amen. So I hope it's heavy on your heart. Pray for Mike, for his messages, but also for his health. Pray that if God does bring us some unsaved people, that they'll heed the message that Mike gave this morning. You need to be saved.
Amen.
There's going to be folks that think, oh, you don't know what I've done. And like Mike said, you don't know the things he's done, and you don't need to, but God's forgiven him. It's all under the blood. There's nothing wrong with that person who's mean and arrogant, that getting saved isn't going to change. Amen. Getting saved is going to change them. But let's pray that way. Father, we lift up to you those that you know that we've been burdened about. Lord, we've been praying. We've been asking you, oh Lord, lead them to the gospel. Lead them to the church where they can be delivered from their sin, from their wicked lives. Oh God, we want to see them saved and grow in you. And Lord, we need the young people come into our church. We pray for them too, Lord. Deliver them. Many of them getting hooked today on drugs and so many evil things that are out there. Lord, let them know that there is deliverance, and there is a place here that they can come and become a part of and be part of our family. And thank you for each and every one that's here. Bless them this afternoon, Lord. Bring each one back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be dismissed.